Now, at your service. Welcome to the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with Mike Miller on the voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Yes, folks, thanks for stopping by. We'll be taking a good gardening stroll shortly, but you can give us a call right now, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. With ideas, questions, concerns, or comments, Alex will be answering the phone. He just needs your first name and where you're calling from. And Mr. Kelly,
yes,
how foggy was it this morning as you were coming in?
I didn't have any fog coming in.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's surprising.
I know. I've seen where there's some fog around the area this morning.
Right.
But did you see some in the city coming
in?
Yeah.
But,
did you?
I mean, not high fog, but
right.
Ground fog.
Yeah.
But, there's a cemetery at the end of the street where we live.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, it probably had a 10 feet high across the whole thing.
Really? So, is it always foggy at the cemetery?
Mentally, yes.
Yeah, I was surprised because I didn't come through any of this. Of course, I was kind of in a fog at 4 in the morning.
Yeah, maybe
but,
there was
that's
foggy.
A little different, yes.
Well, great, thanks.
You bet.
Yes, folks, on Saturday morning, we get together and we have a discussion about what's going on in your landscape. And you don't know what this is, or you don't know what that is, or you do know what this is, and you do know what that is. And those houseplants. I still don't have mine inside, but I've got to get the grow lights on in the basement and get ready to start bringing them in, though. Of course, when the forecast says it's going to be 91 in a few days, good grief, what's going on anyway? So this time of year, what can you be doing? Improving soil, shearing, pruning, watching out for bugs and diseases, and what's hopefully the information I'll share with you will make your ideas and thoughts and everything solidify, and the final judgment of action is going to be on your shoulders, what you decide to do or not to do. And this is your show, and I certainly appreciate you inviting me into your home, car, wherever you happen to be listening. Another important player, as I said before, is Alex. He's producing. He answers the phone. He pushes all the buttons and everything else. They tell me to keep your fingers off those buttons because you might mess up something. Anyway, I'm Mike Miller. I've been hosting the Garden Hotline since 1994. I can come to your home and do landscape consultations if you'd like for me to have a look around and do a walk and talk. You can go to my website, MikeMillerDesigns.com. On the homepage has my email address and phone number where I can be reached. And this past week on Wednesday, I was at a home very close to where I live, there in South City. And I mean, they had a koi pond. South City has fairly small yards. But they had a koi pond in the backyard, and the koi were massive. I was surprised. There was only 3 in there, but they really, I was very impressed with it. And then they had converted their front yard into a stream bed, and really a very unique circumstance. And also they I don't know where that cough button is, but anyway. I do know where it is. I'm afraid to touch buttons, but anyway. They had some Halloween decorations up already, so a great couple, and it was really nice to talk to them. And, I mean, they have some wonderful ideas about what to do in their landscape. So, anyway, the Good Gardening Stroll is brought to you by St. Louis Composting, 636-861-3344. As tradition has it, the first Saturday after a seasonal change, it's Tour de Yard. So, in other words, last Wednesday was first day of fall, and so, Tour de Yard. Well, let's see. I'll start where the sun rises. That's on the east side of our landscape or our yard or whatever. And it's a planting strip between the alley and our garage. And the purple coneflowers, I mean, provided several months of really great blooming. Now they've finished. I've cut them off. And I should have left them for the finches and everything else, but I cut the flower heads off. And they're on the ground, so now a bunch of different kinds of birds are going after them. The problem this year, though, we had a really strong rainstorm, and it caused them to bend over. And they spent it, almost, I would say, 2/3 of the growing season bent rather than standing straight up. So hard rains can really do some damage to plant material, even strong things like purple coneflowers. And underneath the purple coneflowers, I have Sedum acri. I like that as a ground cover in lots of different places throughout the landscape. And I planted, when we first moved there, lemon verbena. I thought, I like the smell of lemons, and, you touch the foliage and everything, and it smells great. But that stuff is way too aggressive, so I've been taking it out a little bit. There's a series of beds that run around, smaller beds that go from the east side around to the north, and that has they have Sedum Acre and Sweet Alyssum both. And that kind of remains the theme between the areas between the sidewalk and street throughout, because we're on a corner throughout the entire thing. And then I add a little bit of yellow moneywort or creeping Jenny spotted in there as well. Three street trees are sugar maples. One still slowly recovering. Spire came in and did some gas line work towards our house. And of course, only a few feet away from the one of the sugar maples, they had to dig down and they really got a lot of damage to the root system. We have a small patio with a bench in the front yard that overlooks Christie Park. And elephant ears with angel wing begonias is the main theme there. Plus, I have a evergreen and a pot that in the wintertime, closer to, let's say, Christmas or just winter in general, I put some lights on it, so it's fun. The zoysia really looks pretty good. I've been working on it as far as I've been hand-digging the weeds out and everything else. I pretty much got everything out except for there's a few that are still there. And then you go around the corner along the foundation and the front door on the north side of the house, large pots of cannas of three different types with elephant ears, wandering Jews, Persian shields, Rex begonias. And in the ground, I have Japanese painted fern, purple coral bells, Sedum Acre, Mugo pines, boxwood, and cypress. So I just kind of keep them under control so they don't overgrow the sidewalk and stuff like that. And in the backyard, potted spider plants, calla lilies, mandevilla vines, more elephant ears. I think I've been doing the elephant ears for several years and I got a lot of them. So I think I'm going to retire my elephant circus for a year or two and, you know, try a few different things just to see how it looks. Also, lantana, which has been very attractive. I haven't seen any hummingbirds lately, but the hummingbirds are really attracted to it. And now it's a lot of moths and butterflies. Mums, pansies, cannas as well, and a stretch of lawn, which embraces basically the backyard patio, and it kind of fills the space in between the house, our screened-in porch, and the garage. So that's a 360-degree tour today of my tour de yard. So Mike Miller, KMOS Garden Hotline, back after these messages.
This is the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with Mike Miller on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Yes, folks, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120 with any kind of questions, comments, or concerns. Let's start off the day with going into Norma's yard. Hi, Norma.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have two questions. My first is with regard to an amaryllis. It bloomed beautifully last year, and I'd like to have it bloom again this year. How do you suggest I do that?
Basically, what you want to do is, I'm assuming the foliage is growing and looks pretty good and everything else.
Right,
you can,
right.
If you like the foliage a lot, you can leave the foliage for another couple weeks. Then you need to cut it off about 2 inches above the bulb, and then just set that bulb in kind of a dark place for a couple months, and then you bring it back out, start watering it again, and then it should start shooting up the flower stalk.
Oh, okay, great. My next question is with regard to hostas. My husband harvested a couple of seeds, and we've got two hosta plants that are about an inch tall and have 5 or 6 leaves on them. What do you suggest we do as far as wintering them? Obviously, we'll keep them inside, but they're in a north window and seem to be doing pretty well with that.
Well, you don't have to keep them inside unless you just want to.
For the winter? I mean, they're really tiny.
Well, I mean, if they're out there and they drop the seed, they get pollinated and everything else and the seeds drop, I mean, you can keep them inside if you want to, but, to me, I would think since it's an outdoor-type plant, that it would be leave it in the pot, just, dig a hole in your garden space and just set the pot down in there and keep the top edge of the pot above the surrounding ground. And that you could do that, or you could just leave them inside if you want.
Okay, great. Very good. Okay, and we still had hummingbirds as of yesterday.
All right, great.
Okay, thanks. Have a great day.
Sure. It's good to hear about the hummingbirds. And now let's go over to Mary's yard. Hi, Mary.
Hi. I have a lilac bush that was here when we moved here over 35 years ago. We cut it back in July, which I didn't want to do because I kept telling my husband we won't have flowers in the spring if we do this. We continued to do it, and now 3 weeks later, it's blooming. I have never seen it. I mean, it's been like for 3 weeks, different stalks, they're blooming. So in the spring, am I going to get lilacs, do you think?
You probably won't. Flowering-wise, you probably won't. But, I mean, who knows? This thing seems a little bit kind of goofy and wants to do what it wants to do anyway. So regardless of what nature or what history has, you know, indicated or dictated, this lilac is a lilac of its own. And, I mean, usually lilacs at 35, you know, it's only the younger, you know, more, let's say, smaller stems coming up, you know, out of the ground that are going to be the flowering ones. The older ones, let's say they get, you know, probably beyond an inch and a half or 2 inches, the trunks as they come out of the ground, they, you know, as they age, they stop flowering. So you've got a situation where you've got a kind of, oh, let me ask you this too. When they were flowering this time of year or whatever, did they have fragrance or was it just visuals?
Yes, I brought some in the house.
Wow.
I mean, it wasn't that many, but and they're near the top, but I pulled them down to smell them, and they're very fragrant.
Perfect. So you got, you know, by doing what you did, you got extra, let's say, bonus from the lilacs.
Yeah, but not next year, right?
Yeah, at least the ones that bloomed this year won't bloom next year. But if you got other ones that, you know, have come up and did not bloom this time of year or whatever, then they should bloom next year for you.
Right. I just never heard of this before. I just am so in awe of it. Okay, well, thanks for your time.
Sure, my pleasure. Yeah, hopefully you got a picture of them.
I did.
All right.
I absolutely did. I sent it to my daughter, and she said, is this from last year? I said, look at the date on the picture. It's today.
Well, great. I'm glad you did.
All right. Thank you.
Sure. And now let's head over to Jerry's yard. Hi, Jerry.
Hi. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, this is Jerry.
Yes, go ahead.
I'd like to know, when should I cut back my azaleas? If I cut them now, and boxwood and hydrangeas?
Basically, with the azaleas, if you cut them now, then your potential for flowers next year are gone. So the flower buds, you know, are in the process, even if they're not really obvious, are being formed right now. The boxwood, I don't really like to prune any kind of broadleaf evergreen going into wintertime. So I would wait for those until we come out of winter, sometime around Valentine's Day to prune. And the reason why I'm saying that is because if you prune them now and we get a severe winter, there could be some damage as a result, you know, more severe damage just overall. Because the stems that you've cut off are a little bit tougher because they've been exposed to the weather the entire, let's say, growing season, you know, that since they've, you know, erupted with the new growth in the springtime. So I would wait on those. And the hydrangeas, if you're just talking about cutting off the flowers, you can do that anytime you want. If you're cutting back the entire plant, I would, again, wait until we're coming out of depends upon the variety. If it's a variety that blooms in the springtime, like PG, then you really shouldn't be pruning that because then you're going to eliminate any kind of possibility for flowers next year. If it's a summer bloomer, you can do it anytime from the fall all the way up until the early spring. So it's a completely different circumstance with the hydrangea depending upon the variety.
Okay, thank you.
Sure, my pleasure. And now let's go over to Bill's yard. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Mike. How are you this morning?
Very good.
I have two questions. I have a probably a 3-inch sugar maple in a pot. And what should I do with it this winter?
How big's a pot?
It's about a 4-inch pot.
And you say it's 3 inches? It's 3 inches tall.
Yeah, it's a small
seedling.
Given to me.
Yeah. So really what you can do is if you know where you want to plant it, you can take it outside and plant it, because fall is the best time to really plant trees and shrubs. So if you got the spot already ready to go, then you can go out and plant it directly. If you're not exactly sure, then like I was talking about with the other lady, just dig a hole in a garden space and just drop the pot down in the hole, but leave the top inch or so of the pot above the surrounding ground. And then, you could grow it in a pot for a couple years if you want to, until you decide exactly where you want to plant it.
Also, I need to know about my... Gosh, I got a block here. I need to know about my pineys.
Your peonies?
Should I go ahead and replant it, or peony?
So you've already dug it up?
No, not yet.
Do it as soon as you possibly can, because the spring bloomers you really want to transplant in the fall, and you want to do it while the ground is as warm as possible, because that's going to encourage the new growth. And realize that don't plant them too deep, because the eyes on the peony, just about 1 inch below the surface of the soil. You plant them deeper than that, in the future, you're just going to get leaves and you're not going to get any kind of flowering at all. I was at a house the other day and they had replanted some peonies and they planted them too deep. So a couple years, they just had nothing but foliage. And then this time of year, the peonies always have the powdery mildew, that gray stuff on the leaves.
And I just thought of one more quick question. Should I cut my asparagus now?
Yeah, you certainly can.
Okay. Thank you very much for everything you do.
Sure, my pleasure. And let's see if we can get another call in before break. Let's go over to Paul's yard. Hi, Paul.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I'd like to have a question about two plants. One's a canna lily, one's an elephant ear. I've never had either one before. And when I got them in the spring, they were almost dead, but they come back in a pot, very healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Can you plant the canna lily in the ground?
There are some people that do, and it
do
just
they live?
Depends upon the location and everything else, but generally they're not considered hardy. So there's some houses around me that, they put theirs into the ground, and they've been growing them in the ground for several years. And they put, kind of several inches of mulch over the top of them after they plant them, but you're taking a big chance on it actually ability to survive with, depending upon how crazy our winter's going to be as far as the ground freezing and depth wise.
Okay, my canna lily in a pot is about a little over 4 foot tall.
Right.
Should I keep it in the pot till summer, till spring?
Well, you can, or what you can do, what I do with mine is I chop them off, and then I just pull the roots up out of the pots, because I grow mine in pots. And then I just put the roots in paper bags and then bring them inside and put them in the basement. And then I replant them mid to late April the following year.
That might go for the same thing for the elephant ear. It should not be outside. It's in a pot also.
Right.
It was almost dead. And now I got leaves that are easily 2-3 foot in diameter.
Great.
It came back very healthy, but that should not be put in the ground either.
No, they're really not hard. I mean, both those are really considered tropicals. They can survive, but the chances of surviving is going to be somewhat minimal, and you're going to be a little bit depressed if they don't survive, where it's easier. You can actually leave them in the pot if you want to, cut the stalks off, and just bring the pot in and set it, someplace in the basement. If that would be your choice, you can do it that way.
A fluorescent light possibly might be good for them indoors.
Yeah, if you want to grow them on a grow light, sure.
Thank you very much for everything.
Sure, my pleasure.
Okay, thanks, Guy. Bye.
Sure. 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. We got some phone lines open, and we will be back after these messages.
This is the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with Mike Miller on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Yes, folks. 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120 for the Garden Hotline. Let's head over to Scott's yard. Hi, Scott.
Hey, good morning, Michael. With winter coming on, how close do you suggest cropping the grass or cutting the grass?
I would say with it coming on, I would not, as long as it's actively growing, just I would cut it at the same height you've been cutting it. And as we as we go into wintertime, you know, once it starts getting cold, let's say the final cut of the season, they always recommend cutting it down to 2.5 inches. I think that's a little tight or a little short for me. So whether it's bluegrass or fescue or zoysia, you know, 3 inches is about as low as I cut it.
Does that change the equation if you're going to core aerate and fertilize going into winter?
No, it doesn't.
Okay. Very good. Thanks for your help. Enjoy
sure.
your show.
Well, thank you for having me on your show. And let's see, now where should we go? Let's go to Oakville, and that's where Pam lives. Hi, Pam. Hello, Pam. Are you there?
Oh.
Hi. Hi, Pam.
Hello.
Hi. Go ahead.
Hi. I have a question about spiders. I have an unusual amount. I don't know where they're coming from. They're all over my plants. I'm looking at them in my holly bush. It looks like something out of a movie. They're in my begonias. They're all along the top story. I have a two-story house. Along the top story of the house. It looks like a monster movie.
Whoa.
Is there something going on? I mean, they're in my flowers. Have you heard anything?
No, I mean, certainly not to that extreme. I mean, I have spiders on certain plants, too, but they're not everywhere by any means. And they really, you know, I mean, the brown recluse, that is a little bit problematic because if it bites you, it can cause, you know, let's say a bad spot. But normally spiders, if you don't like them, I would say just, I mean, you go out there and you spray them with a hose and you knock them off onto the ground, they're going to probably come back around again. Now, there are, if you want to, you can go after them or have a professional service come, but they really don't do that much damage.
Okay, obviously. I was just concerned about my plants.
No, the plants, they really, they're catching a lot of insects that may be problematic for your plants, but them and of themselves don't do that. They don't damage plants, let's put it that way.
Okay, because I reach in and I pull it out. I wipe the leaves off, and it's real fine, almost silk-like.
Sure.
It looks like something that you, the decorations that you put out for Halloween when you put that. And my house is getting that way. Okay.
Yeah, so, I mean, aesthetically, it's a little bit problematic, but beyond that, you shouldn't worry about it too much.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Sure. My pleasure. A scary house. We should have found out what her address was, so I don't know. We can go by on Halloween. Anyway, let's go over to Dave's yard. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Mike. I've got a couple questions for you. The first one is I've been seeing a lot on the internet about leveling your yard, like, you know, just little dips and such with sand and or sand / compost mix. What do you think about that?
I don't think sand works with clay. Clay together with sand makes bricks. So
that's what I thought, too. Yeah,
you can't do that. If you got a different kind of soil, yes, but not with our region's clay soils. I mean, that's why there's so many brick buildings around here, because of all the clay. And, I mean, actually, Christie Park, right across the street from where we live, that was actually a clay mine way back when.
Huh. Okay, interesting. What about with just a fine compost? Would that help level it, or do I need to do dirt? Or
well, you need to mix it in. So I would probably get a compost topsoil mix and then mix it in with the existing soil. So just don't level it off. You got to actually shovel it or rototill it or whatever to get a blend and then make it level that way. Don't just fill the hole, let's say, or the dip.
Yeah, okay, got it. Thank you. And my other question is, I've got some boxwood that had been in the ground of 4, 5, 6 years. They were doing well, then all of a sudden, just like one branch went totally brown. And I thought, well, I didn't know what was going on. But then all of a sudden, I see a branch on the next one over going brown. And I've taken branches, you know, that are starting to turn brown into a nursery, and they couldn't really tell me anything. Do you have any ideas what I should try?
Are they really, the branches that are brown, are they on the back side of the shrub, you know, next to the house or something like that?
Some are and some are not.
Oh, because I was going to say, if that's the reason, then it's because they're not getting adequate light. So the basically the plant's just shutting them off. But if they're that old, there hasn't, unless you've done a brand new irrigation system or you're watering a lot more than historically you've done, that, you know, why it's actually happening, it's a little tough. Do you have a dog?
No.
So I was going to say, are these in the front of the house where people that walk their dogs can, in other words, is there dogs urinating on them?
Yeah, no, that's not either. I looked for bugs. I didn't really see any other bugs typically get on boxwoods.
Well, there are, but they're not going to turn whole big branches, you know, brown like that.
I see.
So, okay. I mean, it's a little bit, you know, it's usually physical or lack of light or something along the, you know, along that line. And especially if you've got a, you know, several of them and it's happening randomly through all of them. That's kind of surprising.
Yeah. Yeah. It is kind of, okay, well, I'll keep a watch on them then. I appreciate your help.
Yeah, but as soon as they start turning brown, you might as well cut them out because they're not going to ever come back, you know, with green leaves on them at all. So just get rid of them.
Right. Okay. Okay, thank you, sir.
Sure, my pleasure. And now let's go to Lester's yard. Hi, Lester.
Hi, thanks for taking my call, Mike.
Sure.
I have a raised bed where I'm growing lemongrass. I like lemongrass for tea. And I have 8 plants I picked up at the Home Depot, and they've done well this season. My question is, and I'm not quite sure, I did a little research on whether or not lemongrass comes back in this area. Or do I need to just get new plants?
Yeah, I would say get new plants. I mean, go ahead and try it, but it's going to depend upon the weather. So milder winters, they can, but a normal type winter circumstance, all it takes is a couple days of really harsh coldness where the ground is going to really get, let's say, super cold, and what it does is just tear the root system apart. That's basically what happens. So you could try it and see what happens, and then always you can get new ones next year if you need them. But we might get lucky, and you might get lucky, and then they'll survive, and you might want to get some new plants anyway because they may not look as, you know, they may not be as productive as they were this year.
Exactly. That's what I need to know. Thanks for taking the call, man.
Sure, my pleasure. And now let's see. Let's get another call in. Sue lives in Eureka. Hi, Sue.
Hi, Mike. A couple of weeks ago, you told me that the dark, the black elephant ears, the bulbs were, I should transplant those and bring them in for the winter. So a couple of the planters had so many little ones that I decided to cut out the big, I just cut off the big leaves and brought the pots in.
Oh, that sounds good.
Do you think that's going to be okay? Will those big ones in the middle rot and destroy everything? Or
no, they shouldn't. I mean, as long as the worst thing you could do is probably leave them outside, where again our weather is so goofy and crazy that that could cause the freezing could cause a rotting circumstance with them. But inside, I just let them go totally dormant. I wouldn't water them. I wouldn't do anything.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, you don't try and keep them alive? I mean, don't try and keep them green?
Well, if you want to, you can, or you can just let them go dormant. When I, you know, I pull mine up out of pots, and I chop all the foliage off, and like I said, I put them in paper bags with newspaper in, you know, layers in between it, and
that's,
then
that's
I stick
the
them,
big ones.
Stick them in a dark spot.
Okay.
So you could try to grow them as a house plant if you want to, but if it's dark in the basement, that's not going to be so good. But if you got grow lights or you got a sunny window and you want to try it that way?
Okay. And a couple of weeks before that, I called you and told you that I had an old sago palm that hadn't gotten any new fronds for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I decided to cut all the fronds off, and guess what I've got?
New fronds.
I've got 3 babies down there. Growing.
So you got new sago palms coming off the base, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Mm-hmm.
All right.
So it's really interesting. So it's going to come in and see what happens.
All right. Good luck.
Thank you, Mike.
Sure.
Bye.
Bye. Mike Miller, KMR's Garden Hotline, back after these messages.
This is the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with Mike Miller on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Back to the phones we go, and we're headed over to Martha's yard. Hi, Martha.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Michael. Listen, I moved about a year ago, and so I've got a lot of new things going on. First of all, I collected some redbud seeds, and I want to germinate those in the spring. Is it worthwhile to do that?
Well, actually, I was at a house a couple weeks ago, and they had a lot of redbud seeds that had germinated at various places in their landscape. So you can give it a try.
Okay. And I've got a lot of older seeds in packages, and that I collected, probably some of them's 2 or 3 years old. Are they any good?
Basically, as time goes on, when they're in those packages, the percentage of germination will go down. So they may turn out that a lot of it will germinate, may turn out that hardly any of it. So it just depends upon the particular plant and the particular seed.
I'll just throw them out and see what they do. I have a new pond, and of course it's all clay around it. Should I plant grass this fall?
You mean lawn?
No.
You mean ornamental grasses?
Around the pond.
Yeah, you're talking about ornamental grasses?
No, regular grass.
So lawn.
Yeah, lawn grass. Yeah, okay.
If you're going to do it, you better get it done quickly so it can get germinated and get, you know, let's say, adequate root system to be able to go through the wintertime.
Okay, if I don't do that, when's the best time to plant it then in the spring?
Well, you're going to have to wait until the ground, you know, warms up. So
warm.
Yeah, sometime mid to late April, early May.
Okay, and I've been painting the trim on my house, and I'm finding a lot of those large black ants all over.
Ooh.
I've called Arkin, but I haven't responded yet. They're just, you know, in the gutters, and I live by the river and got a lot of trees, so got a lot of animals. I guess is Arkin the pest control the best thing to do with those things?
I would, you know, probably think so, because they could be a little bit of trouble, but generally. It just, yeah, have somebody come out to take a look and find out what the source is. And, I mean, just to kind of spray and kill them, that's not good because, I mean, it's not bad. It's just that you're not going to the source of where they're coming from. They may be dropping off the trees if you have branches hanging over your house.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, we get that. last question. My backyard's on a steep hill, and the street's up above it. So I'm trying to plant some rows of Sharon, which I've already got back there, and it spreads pretty good. But I did cut off some of the limbs and try to plant them. Is there a better way?
Yeah, buy new plants. I mean, you can germinate. You could cut and, you know, get some rooting hormone and stuff like that, but just to cut them off and stick them in the ground, that's kind of I don't want to say a waste of time, but it's a waste of time.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
Sure. My pleasure. And we're just about out of time, so we're probably not going to try to squeeze another call in. Fall color's coming. And some of the things that really impact the color that we're going to get off our trees this year is temperature, sunlight, soil moisture all play a role in how the leaves are going to look for the fall. Abundant sunlight and lower temperatures, actually what happens, there's a layer that's where the actual leaf is attached to, you know, the stem or the twig or whatever, and that really it shuts everything off. So in other words, all the nutrients and chlorophyll and everything else that's in the leaf will be stuck there. And then what happens as the temperatures change, that color comes from the fact of whatever type of nutrients there are in that particular leaf. So that's one of the best things. So the best weather for fall color is when the growing season, adequate moisture is followed by some kind of cool, sunny autumn. And if we have heavy winds or rains, a lot of times the leaves are going to be knocked off before they develop the good color. So there's a lot of different things going on in relationship to the color. And I've seen some trees already starting to change color. And I think that's just because of the stress they were in, or just kind of in general. So if you have any questions or concerns, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Back after the news.
at your service. Welcome to the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with Mike Miller on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Yes, folks, the Garden Hotline tip of the trowel. I'll be giving that shortly, but right now you can give a call, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120 with your ideas, questions, concerns, or comments. And Mr. Kelly, before you take off.
Yes, sir.
I know you like beers, you know, brewery.
That's the rumor. Yeah.
I'm not saying excessive or anything else, but this time of year when they come out with beer with like pumpkin flavors and stuff like that, do you go for that stuff?
I'm not a big pumpkin beer fan. My wife is. Sue is.
Really?
Yeah, she loves the pumpkin beers.
Wow.
And I have to tell you, of all of them, I think O'Fallon's the best, though. It tastes like pumpkin pie. It's so good. I always joke that you should put whipped cream on it because it's so, it is very good. I'll have one maybe once in a while, but I'm not a big pumpkin beer guy.
I was just curious.
Yeah, give me those good bourbon barrel-aged stouts.
Perfect.
Mm.
Sounds good.
I've been up for a while, so I could actually have one now, even though it's 9 o'clock in the morning. But I won't. I have to work a few more hours.
That's true. I didn't want to get too personal, but I just see all these pumpkin beers all over the place.
Oh, they're everywhere.
Now. Yeah, kind of amazing.
There's pumpkin everything.
Yes, there is.
Yes. Tomorrow, the Total Information AM weekend show will be in pumpkin. No, not really. But it could be.
Very true. Thanks, Brian.
You bet.
Yes, and thanks to you for having me on your show. We can discuss plant selection, caring for, ups and downs, and all arounds of annuals. The pansies we got the other last week really are looking pretty darn good. The bulbs, every year I order bulbs from Brightside St. Louis. And unfortunately, this year, usually they come near the beginning of October. But I guess in the Netherlands, they've had some real problems weather-wise. So the bulbs for Operation Brightside or Brightside St. Louis, they ordered we order from them, and then they put a big order together and then have them shipped. But the shipment's being delayed till the end of October. So the bulbs, you can basically start planting. In general, mid to late October, that's for the daffodils and tulips and everything. Your ground covers, your houseplants, your lawn, your perennials, roses, trees, shrubs, vines, or water gardens. And as I said, this past week I was at a house that had a great water garden in the backyard with a koi fish and everything else. And they've tried to have some plants in the koi pond, and the koi apparently like to eat whatever kind of plants they put in. But anyway, please remember my answers, comments, and opinions is not the only garden path to take, but strictly offered for you to consider. Alex is producing, so he answers the phone. During the week, I do landscape consulting where I can come to your home and do a walk and talk, evaluate aesthetics, problem solving, or whatever it happens to be. You can go to my website, MikeMillerDesigns.com. On the homepage, there's my email address and phone number. If you'd like to contact me to schedule a walk and talk, and I'll come and share 40 plus years of experience. Oh my God, 40 years. Anyway, as it relates to your home, your landscape, your care, maintenance, and everything else, the tip of the trowel is a special recognition for individual, group, or situation that's made an impression on me and is brought to you by St. Louis Composting, 636-861-3344. Tip of the trowel goes out to everybody that's been so conscientious. This year has been a really difficult year for, just gardening in general, because we've had this extended dry periods and we've had overly wet periods and everything else. And I mean, some of the landscapes are still just really spectacular. So, and it's not necessarily, it takes a whole lot of time. It's, coordinating and everything else and doing things at the proper sequence. That's most important. So, all the people that make their yards nice when I'm walking around or whatever it happens to be, driving around, and you turn your neck real quick because you see something that's really absolutely striking. And it's great fun. So anyway, the tip of the trowel goes out to all the people that really enjoy working in the outdoors and enjoy spending time out there themselves, not necessarily just working, just relaxing and taking it easy. So I greatly appreciate all the work that they've done. Also, a tip of the trowel goes out to all the school bus drivers that drive school buses through our neighborhood. South City has, our streets are really narrow. And the way some of these buses have to go through the neighborhood, I mean, I'm just really impressed with some of the school bus drivers, how well they do. And I mean, a lot of times cars parked on both sides of the street, really narrow. And so I've seen some of the school buses have to, you know, go back and forth and back and forth a little bit to be able to make the turn. So the patience that those drivers take and the skill that they have, tip of the trowel goes out to the school bus drivers in the city of St. Louis, but especially in our neighborhood, because that's where I really see them a lot. So let's go ahead and take a couple calls before we take a break. Let's go to Maryville, and that's where Sue lives. Hi, Sue.
Hi.
Hi.
I've got a question about peonies. I caught the end of your comment from a previous caller about powdery mildew.
Right.
I've got two peony bushes that are not planted next to each other. One of them has had powdery mildew all over it. And I've used neem oil on it. I used 7 earlier in the season. And I'm just sick over it. Just yesterday, I cut it down. I cut it down to about, 4 to 6 inches. And then I cleaned out all the dead leaves, and then I sprayed it again with neem oil. The other one I didn't touch. Did I do wrong by that? I had no idea that when you had made the comment that this time of year they have powdery mildew, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, all of them have it, regardless. So, and it really is an aesthetic problem more so than anything else. It doesn't affect the overall health or production the following year or anything. So what you can do is just, if the powdery mildew starts showing up and we're at least past, let's say, mid to late September, just cut the foliage off and leave the stem at about a couple inches and clear the debris away like you did. And that's about all you can do. There's nothing else. I mean, spraying and everything else is not going to eradicate the problem. It's not going to get rid of it. It's just going to mean that you don't, you know, you think you're doing something, but you're really not helping.
Okay, so the fact that I already cut this one down yesterday, is that going to be an issue, do you think?
No, shouldn't be. Once they get the powdery mildew, and once, you know, we get past mid-September, the leaves are being dysfunctional. So in other words, foliage on plant material actually uses sunlight, the nutrients and moisture that come up from the root system into the leaf, and then that makes food. But once they get powdery mildew or once they start going dormant, they're not making any food anymore, so you might as well just cut it down.
Okay, good to know. Well, I panicked when I heard you say that. I'm like, oh, no, I shouldn't have cut it.
No, that's fine. You're okay.
Thank you so much. Sure. I appreciate it. And thank you for your service.
Oh, my pleasure. And now let's go over to Joe's yard. He lives in St. Charles. Hi, Joe.
Yeah, good morning, Mike. Just recently I had a pallet of sod laid in, and I've been watering it, and also laid in some starter fertilizer on it just a few days ago, and I'm curious, when can I start cutting that sod?
Go out there and just one of the corners or whatever in a couple different places where the sod is, just kind of lift it up gently. And if it's rooted in, if it started, so in other words, you can't lift it up like a piece of sod anymore or a rug or whatever, and that shows that it's getting established, then you can mow it.
Got it. Okay. When is a good time to start trimming back on trees and bushes?
It depends upon, you know, if the time of, let's say, what type of, let's say, tree or bush it is. But I kind of like, my tendency is to wait until the foliage starts really falling off. That's a better time to do it because you can see the branches and everything else a little bit better. Any of the branches that are longer, cut them off in sections so it doesn't do any kind of tearing to, you know, if they're, you know, attached to the trunk or another big stem or whatever it happens to be.
How much trimming back can you do on trees, you know, like pin oaks and some of the other trees that I've got here?
Well, I mean, you cut back too much and you're going to cause some just overall damage just in general because, like I was saying, the trees with the branches, you know, have leaves, and the leaves are what makes food, and that feeds the root system, that feeds the trunk, it feeds the branches, it feeds the twigs, it feeds production of acorns or whatever it happens to be. So you cut it back like deadheading, which I used to do where they cut them back to stubs. You can't do that kind of stuff anymore, or if you do it, it's going to send probably the tree downhill.
I got it. Okay. The pin oak that I'm referring to for cutting back, for trimming back, is releasing a lot of these small baby acorns.
Right.
Is that a sign of something bad?
No. Certain oak trees have smaller acorns than other ones, so this is probably just this particular tree.
I got it. Okay, Mike. Thank you very much for your assistance. I really appreciate your professional inputs.
Sure,
thank
my
you.
My pleasure. And Mike Miller, KMWatch Garden Hotline, back after these messages.
This is the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with Mike Miller on the voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Yes, folks, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. This is a time of year when you can really do a lot of different things in your landscape. Planting trees and shrubs, this is the ideal time. This time of year versus the springtime, because the ground is warm. Consequently, then warm ground makes root systems establish quicker. And then the plants get to go to sleep. And these plants in the springtime, the ground is cold, the root systems don't get well established, and then they face our summertime, which our summer is really kind of tough and rough. Let's head over to Tim's yard in Glendale. Hi, Tim.
Good morning, Mike. I have a newly planted boxwood that is dead on one side, evidently from a dog urinating. If I cut the dead part off, will the plant survive and grow?
It should. I mean, basically, that part that you might as well cut it off because it's not going to green up again. So you should be fine. But, you know, putting some protection around it to keep the dogs away from it, that's probably something you want to do.
Well, I have put a sign up asking people to curb their dog. Well, thank you very much, Mike. Bye-bye.
Yep. Yeah, it should be fine as long as it's not, let's say, a big percentage of the new shrub. But the newer shrub is going to have a rough time just in general. And when you get this kind of thing where you've lost that amount of leaf, whatever percentage it is, it just slows the whole process down of getting acclimated. And let's head over to Robert's yard now. Hi, Robert.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Good. Question, I have a couple of crepe myrtles, and I planted them at the same time about 10 years ago, but the one of them almost dies back every year. I mean, there's not a whole lot to trim, but the other one just keeps growing. It's probably 18, 20 foot tall. And I was wondering to know, how far back can I cut that and not hurt it?
I would not have cut it more. Probably what I would do is, there's going to be certain trunks coming up out of the ground that are going to be bigger than others. I would cut out the biggest ones, get rid of those, and leave the smaller ones rather than just cutting it off all at the same height.
Okay. And what percentage of those? Because there's some of them that are probably 1.5, 2 inches in diameter.
Yeah, I would say maybe take out half of them, and you can see how it reacts next year. Because it's better to do less because you can always do more pruning in the future. So that way you can kind of keep this whole thing under control without kind of losing the aesthetic qualities.
Okay, so just cut back the bigger ones, and would you take them all the way to the ground, basically?
I'd cut them back to maybe like 6 inches or so and make the final cut at a 45-degree angle because that helps, the cambium layer seal that pruning cut.
Okay. All right, well, thank you so much.
Sure, my pleasure. And now let's head to Afton, and that's where Jean lives. Hi, Jean.
I have a question about a Rosa Sharon bush. It still has flowers. Should we cut them off? And also, the bush is getting too large. How far back do you cut it?
Basically, about a third would be the maximum I'd cut it back, and there's no reason to cut the flowers off. Why not just enjoy them?
Okay. But when would you cut the bush back? Another month or so?
Yeah, basically, you got a whole lot of time because it's a summer bloomer. So all the way through basically wintertime into early spring, before any kind of leaves start emerging, that you get it pruned before then. So from this point forward up until, let's say, it's hard to say, end of March or something, do the pruning before that time.
Okay, and and just take a foot off now, though? When you do it? Well, just a foot at a time.
Yeah, you could do it that way if you want to. It's just kind of, it's personal choice. Or you can take, if it's like 9 feet high, take off 3 feet. If it's 10, you know, so you can take a third of the entire length off if you want.
Okay, thanks a lot, Mike.
Sure.
Bye-bye.
And Elias, how are you today?
I'm just fine. Good morning, Mike.
Hi.
I have a couple of questions. What do you think about Epsom salt to add it to the soil, like 2 teaspoons per gallon? And I heard on Channel 9, the guy, he said, because it has potassium, the salt, and helps the plant for the new growth.
Basically, I would not add something, you know, like what you're talking about, the Epsom salts, unless you've had a soil test done and see that you have a lack of potassium. Because if you don't, and you have an extreme level of potassium in your soil, and you add this Epsom salt to it, you're adding more to the problem, because extreme levels of phosphorus or potassium can be an anti-factor as far as the overall health of basically any kind of plant material. So you just have to watch out. Just to do something without having any kind of information as a background, that's where the trouble's going to be.
Okay. My second question is, I have nine amarellas. I trimmed the leaves about 10 days ago. I put them in my garage. I have no basement. Now I look at it. One of them start to shoot up in your leaves. What shall I do?
Make sure they're in the dark. I know you sent me an email, and I didn't get a chance to answer your email.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, so make sure that they're in the dark.
Okay.
Way. If you put them near windows or something, that's going to trigger some growth.
Yeah, I have a window, you know, garage window, and not direct sunlight, but good light, you know, indirect light. So can I put them in the box and close the box, or?
Yeah, that would be fine. And, for like a couple months now, you don't need to water them, you don't need to do anything. And then sometime after the first of the year, pull them out. You know, start watering them and put them in bring them inside the house or whatever, and then just let them grow. Because the first thing you're going to see is going to be the flower stalk, not foliage.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Right. And my third question is, I bought some sunflower plant, and the woodchuck, you know, it just munched them, ate them. You know. So do you think we'll come back next year? Still in the pot.
Yeah, it just depends upon what kind of sunflower it is. So is there any kind of foliage still, coming up out of the ground?
No.
Nothing?
That's it.
So it's just a single stalk. Probably then they're not going to come back, I would not think. But
yeah.
Don't get into a panic and just kind of see what happens.
Oh, no, I leave it, I'm like you, just experimental on them.
Oh.
I keep one. And take the other. It came up, comes up back next year. It's fine. If you don't, I go buy a new one.
Sounds
perfect.
It's
not a big deal. Yeah. So, well, thank you, Mike, for your service.
And sorry again, you sent me the email yesterday, and I didn't get around to answering it. So, but now you can call the show. I mean, what could be better than that? Mike Miller, KMY's Garden Hotline, back after these messages.
This is the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with Mike Miller on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Yes, folks, the annual warm season weeds are still doing very well. Spurge is coming up. I mean, the seeds are germinating. Ragweed, purslane, knotweed, lamb's quarter, black medic, carpet weed, crabgrass, barnyard grass, goosegrass, lots of other things. Those guys all germinated last spring, and they're still surging along. I mean, some of them are really, and the problem is now, too, what they are, as the season gets, their growing season gets in, closer to the end, they're producing seed, and they're dropping that seed for next year. So just realize if you have a weed problem and they go to seed, then you're going to have that problem again next year, because those seeds just lay there until next year when the ground temperatures 4 or 5 days in a row get above 50 degrees, that triggers the germination. So crazy world out there when it comes to weeds. Let's head over to Norm's yard. Hi, Norm.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, thanks for taking the call. We have an old Japanese maple tree in our yard, And in the last couple of years, it really hasn't looked that good. They've tried pruning it a little bit and trimming it a little bit. And then finally, someone came by, one of the tree companies came by and said it has scale. And they said there's a treatment for it. Is there a specific treatment for something called scale?
Yeah, scale is like kind of looks like a fingernail, only it's really small. And what it is during the wintertime, you can spray a dormant oil. And so just go to your favorite garden center, tell them you need dormant oil for the scale on your Japanese maple. Just read the label and instructions before you apply it. You can't apply it too soon because you can cause problems. But it has to be while the tree is very, you know, dormant. And then also, let's say you didn't get around to doing it, but there's a horticultural weight oil, which is lighter weight, which actually can be sprayed onto the, you know, the scale or the plant that has a scale during active growth.
So basically, you're waiting for the tree to go into dormant. In other words, you don't do anything right now. It's probably you're doing it, what, in January or February?
Well,
is that what you're saying?
It. I mean, once the foliage falls off, kind of from Halloween all the way around till the leaves start coming up and coming out of the the buds in the springtime. So you got about 3 or 4 months to spray the dormant oil.
And it's light. It's not like you're soaking the thing or anything like that, right?
No, it's a light. I mean, it's not light because the light oil is a horticultural oil, and that's the one that you spray while they're actively growing.
Yeah. So the best bet, like you said, is to wait till after Halloween, and then you can just buy that stuff, any garden supply?
Yeah, any kind. Yeah. They should be able to. I mean, I think everybody should have it, but I like to go to year-round garden centers personally.
Okay. As always, you answered a question. Thank you very much.
Sure, my pleasure.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Yeah, let's go over to Eric's yard now. Hi, Eric.
Hi, Mike. A first-time garlic grower. Recommendations. Can I use store-bought garlic, or can I use go somewhere and Baker Seed or something like that?
I would say...
Oil prep.
Oh, go ahead.
No. Go on. That pretty much, was my question there.
Yeah, to buy, let's say, garlic at a store, I'd rather go to a garden center and they're going to have, let's say, garlic bulbs or whatever you want to call it that is basically grown to be grown. And the stuff that's been around at a grocery store, who knows how long they've been around and everything else, unless you're talking about garlic growing in a pot. Then you'd be okay, but just garlic laying around, you could try planting it, but the chances of success is going to be somewhat iffy.
Okay. Any kind of specific soil preparation for it, or just basic garden soil compost mix?
Right, that would be good, just so it's adequately drained, because anything that has a big tuber in the ground, whether it's garlic, whether it's onions, whether it's iris, whether it's, lilies or whatever it happens to be, you just got to have well-drained soil and full sun.
Full sun, okay.
Right.
Good to know. Can I ask you another question
here?
I'm looking for a tall ornamental grass with a tall plume on it, like a foxtail or something like that. Do you have something that you can recommend?
Tall-wise, with foxtail flowering, I don't know about that. Look at pampas grass, P-A-M-P-A-S, pampas grass, and see what you think of that one.
Okay, and that's non-invasive?
Well, most of the grasses, I shouldn't say most, but the majority of grasses are clump growers. So in other words, all they do is the center may not come back as time goes on, but there'll be new growth on the perimeter. So as the thing gets older, a lot of times people have to dig up the entire clump of grasses, chop out the center of it, which no longer is producing blades, and then replant the perimeter grass. So, but for the most part, there are a few invasive ones, but generally the larger ones are not invasive.
Okay, all right. And then could I dig up an existing plant and just split it up like a hosta and then replant it?
Yeah, if you're going to do it soon. I mean, get it done relatively quickly. Are you talking about an ornamental grass?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, I mean, just get it done as soon as you possibly can.
Okay. All right. And then one last thing here. I've got a pin oak with all these galls on it.
Right.
A year ago, it was in covered in galls. However, since then, the past year, I've got a nest or four nests of squirrels that have picked those galls clean off that tree.
Whoa.
Yeah, I'm amazed by them. So if anybody, you know, hey, you know, it's a big issue around the area here. Right. You know, I've got some squirrels for rent.
All right, great. Eric Squirrel Rentals.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, friends.
Yeah, they do chop off, you know, and a lot of times the gall stems will be broken off by wind and stuff like that. But, yeah, so you got some smart squirrels.
I tell you, they picked it clean.
I was kidding.
Really worried about this tree, but a year's difference has made all the difference in the world with them.
Well, perfect.
Great. Yeah, yep.
All right, well, thanks,
Eric. A little tidbit there.
Yep. And now
okay, good day.
Yep, you too. And now let's head over to Linda's yard. Hi, Linda.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I wanted to know what has happened to the Japanese beetle this year.
As far as
I have had them horribly for 15 or 16 years. They've eaten up my crepe myrtles, my roses, my Rosa Sharon. And last year, my daughter in Kansas City told me that she had gotten some diatomaceous earth and put on hers, and it took care of it. So I immediately went and got some and used it. It didn't take care of the whole problem, but anyway, this year, the things came up. Not a Japanese beetle on any of it. I wondered if that's going to continue or if I'm going to have to go back using it some more. I didn't know what had happened to them.
Basically, there wasn't a whole lot of Japanese maples this year that I saw. And what it was is I think, they spend their childhood underneath the ground, and then they emerge as a beetle. So I think what it was is our weather at that time, as they were, you know, spending their, childhood below the surface, it got cold, and they got, you know, basically killed by the weather more so than anything else. So that's where, you know, my guess is on why the population has been a lot less than it has in the previous years.
Oh, well, okay. So they'll probably be back.
They certainly could be. But there's going to be less of them because there's not that many adults that are going to be, let's say, having babies and
eggs
in the ground and blah, blah, blah.
Well, that diatomaceous earth is really good stuff.
Right. So you sprinkled it on the ground, and then got rid of them as they were kids in the below the ground as larvae.
Yeah. Well, thank you for your information. I really appreciate it.
Sure, my pleasure. Let's go ahead and take a break. 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120.
Is the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with Mike Miller on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Yes, folks, back to the phones we go. Let's head over to Becky's yard. Hey, Becky.
It's me. Hey, how are you this morning?
Very good.
Good. My question is about Tom. We've got four great big ones in our backyard, and we've tried to save them before by bringing them into the garage and covering them for the winter, but they don't make it. Is there any way to save those?
Yeah, you could build a greenhouse.
Yeah, that's what I was afraid you were going to say.
Yeah, I mean, your garage is probably not heated, so that's where the problem comes. If you can get them into your basement and put grow lights on them, that would help, but for the most part, you're kind of stuck.
So we did actually put little heaters in the garage, and we not wrapped them, but we made like a plastic cage around them. It wasn't touching them, but went around them.
Okay.
But they made it until about April, and then that was it.
Yeah, there probably was.
But I did water them, and I probably shouldn't have.
Well, I mean, the watering was, you know, important, but probably they didn't have enough light. So
Okay. Consequently,
they didn't have enough energy inside, so they managed to aesthetically survive to that certain point, but probably they were just in a steady downhill decline, and you just couldn't tell it.
Okay. So really nothing that I can do to save them.
Not realistically,
probably, unless
no.
they go to a greenhouse.
Right.
Okay, well, thank you for your help.
Sure, my pleasure. And now let's head over to Henry's yard. Hi, Henry.
Hello, Mike. I greatly enjoy your show. Oh, we got a wisteria. It's been blooming very good for the last 3 years. Is it true that you should not fertilize the wisteria?
No, you can fertilize it. It's just don't over-fertilize it. But if it's blooming and it, you know, growing fine and everything else, there's probably I'd use maybe some an organic type fertilizer like Milorganite or something like that, because you don't want to get something in there that may be a little bit too high level. So
I hear by rumor that you shouldn't fertilize them, and I keep wondering, this thing's been blooming good the last, took 5 or 6 years to get it to bloom, but it's blooming pretty good now if we cut it in the right times.
Yeah.
And I kept wondering, would it be better if I put something like Milorganite would be okay?
Yeah, that would be fine. Work it into the soil, water it in. And the reason why it didn't bloom for the first few years is because it's a maturity type thing.
Yeah, it don't bloom for the first 3 or 4 years. But
right.
This one's finally got to blooming pretty nice if I cut it 3 or 4 times a year and just chop the heck out of it.
Well, and great.
I was just wondering about the fertilizer. I said, now it's blooming. Maybe I should feed it. Maybe it's hungry.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. It's
hungry. Enjoy your show.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Yeah, the hunger comes from the fact that it's got foliage, and the foliage makes the food, and that helps the plants, too. Let's head over to Linda's yard. Hi, Linda.
Hi. How are you?
Good.
Good. I have a Cleveland pear in my front yard that's about 10 years old. It's absolutely perfect. Is it full grown, or do I need to trim it? I like exactly the stage it's at.
You're never going to preserve it that way because it's not in a pot like a bonsai Japanese type tree. So
yeah.
It's just going to, I would just kind of leave it alone and just enjoy it for what it is.
Do you think it'll get much taller than this after 10 years?
Well, it could. How tall is it?
I don't know. Maybe 2 stories.
Oh, it probably won't get much higher than that.
Okay. Yeah, it's shaped absolutely perfect, and I heard that you don't have to ever trim these, so
right.
I didn't know. Okay, my other question is, I want to plant a red bud this year. What's the latest I can plant it?
You want to get it in the ground while the ground is still warm, so probably all the way up until maybe Thanksgiving, that would be the latest I'd probably install it. You could install it after that. It's just the root system to get any more established than what it is already may be a little bit inadequate because the ground will start getting colder and colder as the days get shorter and shorter.
And I used to have one years ago at another house, and ours grew straight and beautiful. And I've seen so many that have these real low branches that, spread out. Is it all in just the way I trim it, or is there a certain type I should buy that's going to be more straight?
No, there's basically it's pruning as much as anything.
Okay. All right. Sounds great. Thanks for your help.
Sure.
All right, bye.
Bob, could you do it kind of quickly?
Sure, Mike. How you doing?
Very good.
I bought some azalea bushes earlier this year, and I planted them, and I want to mulch them. Now, do I have to get rid of the old mulch, or can I use the, or just mix the new stuff in with it?
Well, basically, you don't want it too deep. So about 2 to 3 inches is the maximum depth over it. And I'd go out there and check it and see how thick the mulch is right now. Don't pile it up too much. So in other words, that could be more problematic.
Okay. What about fertilizing? Wait till the spring?
Yeah, definitely don't fertilize going into wintertime. So in the springtime, once we get past, Ides of March, mid-March or something, you're not going to see obvious growth, but you can start fertilizing. Make sure that you get a fertilizer for acid-loving plants.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, thanks for your information.
Sure. My pleasure. Yeah, there's a lot of crazy stuff going on in the outdoors. As I look out the window here at our building near Soldiers Memorial, the public library and everything else, there's lots of different trees in this park situation. Some of the trees are defoliating. Some of them are starting to change color. So it's going to be, kind of a roll of the dice on how this fall turns out because our weather has been so goofy all the way through. Yeah, there's been certain times where things have been absolutely spectacular, other times where everything's kind of slowed down. But that's what it's about when you're living in our kind of region. Our weather, we never know what the next day is going to be like. Brian Kelly, or the weather guy, said, you know, 91 coming back up. So anyway, Mike Miller, KMY's Garden Hotline. See you next week.